What is it? Is this a mojito? Because it looks like a mojito.
It is a super mediocre mojito.
A super mediocre are we on? Are we doing this?
My plan was to do a nice, like, fuck you winter thing.
Because we're actually having winter now.
Yeah, we got a foot and a half of snow outside.
And that's news in upstate New York because we haven't had hardly any snow this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Normally it would be like, yeah, we had some snow. I mean, this amount of snow would be like,
we would have gotten months ago. It'd be
a lot, but not a big deal, you know.
Like I said, they're mediocre. You might want to give it a stir.
It's not bad. There's something weird in it. Maybe it's just my imagination.
It's mediocre.
Okay.
I don't think it's your imagination. It's not weird as much as just not great.
Did you use
simple syrup? Mm-hmm.
It's fresh. There's a lot of mint and lime.
Yeah, because I couldn't get spearmint.
Okay.
So it's like, it's mediocre mint in the middle of winter, like a little leaves. So I was like, I can't taste the mint. So I threw more in. I still couldn't taste the mint.
I can taste the mint.
Okay. Well, I give you the better one. I took Frankenstein number one. Frankenstein's monster number one. You got Frankenstein's monster number two.
Still, I'm a big fan of mojitos.
I know you are.
I appreciate the effort that went into this.
Yeah.
And I thank you for this.
You are welcome. Sorry it's not better, but it'll keep you warm on a cold night when there's a foot and a half of snow outside, wherein 2 or 3 days ago there was not a foot and a half of snow outside.
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of shoveling?
We did a lot of shoveling. This is like boring stuff, shoveling snow. I mean, it was kind of novel because we hadn't had to shovel any snow all year.
Oh, yeah. New York City's gotten our winter.
Yeah.
Buffalo's sitting pretty.
It was coming down like crazy on Monday morning. I mean, like, it was ridiculous. Like, I had a parka on that was out shoveling.
Yeah, your wife kept sending pictures.
Yeah. I don't know why. Like, oh, look, we're shoveling snow. Woo!
Why do you shovel the deck so often? Is it not supposed to have
snow? I don't know.
It's a very nice deck. It's just
it was a wife thing. It was like, we need to shovel the deck. I'm like, all right. I mean, the dogs go out there.
Oh, okay.
But they don't, you know, they don't really need the whole deck.
But she was like very excited to tell us that you had shoveled 3 times in one morning.
Yes. So, we shoveled like the first batch was like really loose powdery snow.
It was great. That first shoveling was awesome.
Yeah. And we just, boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kept coming down and it changed. It was like, it was hard when it came down. I was wearing a parka shoveling and I could hear it hitting the parka, which was, why am I hearing snow hitting my parka? Doesn't make any sense. But yeah, it was like, it was snow chunks coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Very dangerous.
It's funny, we were talking about this not that long ago, but in a podcast, but it turned into that heart attack inducing crazy heavy snow. We're shoveling it like you just want to die because it's so heavy. And you're dressed up with so many layers and you're just sweating your balls off the whole time.
Well, we just like continuously shoveled snow all that morning. So we never had a lot of, you know, heavy snow. I mean, it was heavy, but we just kept going, you know, layer and layer and layer and layer. And
I looked out the driveway right after I did the snowblower the first time and I was like, I could do the snowblower again. It would have appreciable effect.
Yeah. And we did that. And we have a snowblower. We have neighbors who live in a shared driveway, so the neighbor that's farthest back in the driveway, this is so convenient. They have their own snow plowing service, so he just comes out and plows our driveway on the way out, and it's great.
It's literally just on his way out.
Yeah, literally.
Does he do the loop though? Your loop?
He does the loop if it's not too bad, but when it gets like this, it's like just the top of the circle, like the first half of the circle.
Okay.
So we can get to the garage. But the lower part of the driveway is just gone.
No, it's no man's land. That belongs here, there be monsters.
Yeah.
Hi, we are Buddies in Space.
S. Michael Smith, and you are
Mojito Mike Carassi.
Mike Ojito, something like that. I don't know.
Mikito?
Michael Simple Syrup Carassi.
That sounds better. I'll give you that. How about we just go with Mixed Master Mike?
Okay, what is simple syrup? Because I hear it all the time. I know it's like a main ingredient in a mojito.
Okay, you're right.
Although
this
it's
down?
Like it's like a lazy ingredient because aren't you really supposed to make a mojito with like brown sugar, like real
cane sugar?
You know, cane sugar.
I used cane sugar simple syrup for makes you feel better. Maybe that's the weird thing you're tasting.
Hmm? I don't know. Okay, so
are you ready? You writing this down?
Talk to us about simple syrup.
Are you ready? Can you handle this? Okay, I bought it, which is really bad because it's the world's easiest thing to make. Hot water and sugar.
That's it. You're just
that simple syrup.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, they used to make it at the bar all the time.
It is well named then.
Simple and it's syrupy. It's like not many things are that well named. I mean, really.
So would you usually use like a refined sugar, or would you do the brown cane sugar?
I'd probably just do like refined sugar, to be honest. I mean, I think it's what we did at the bar at tastings, because I used to watch them make it. It takes a little time. That's the annoying thing.
You gotta like boil it, I guess.
You got to get the water hot, then you have to very slowly mix it in, and the proportions are exact, but the timing is, it's like baking. It's one of those things that takes a while. And I fucking hate that. I want to be able to improvise and throw some spices in and shit. So not really my bag. So I bought
a bottle. Guess you could. I mean, you could throw, you know, some spice into that.
You could probably make all sorts of infused simple syrups.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a guy in Brooklyn who does that. His name's like Jed. He has a big beard. And I run
Jed Simple Syrups?
Jed Syrups. They're simple.
Or are they?
And that's it. That's the tagline. So...
So do you have news? Because you're saying so like you've got something to tell me.
It's been a slow week, so I'm going to tell you about my trip to the dentist today.
Okay.
That's about the most exciting. That's awesome. So I have a false tooth.
Uh-huh. Is that where you hide the microfilm?
Microfiche?
No.
I don't actually know the difference.
I don't think you'd hide microfiche in a tooth.
Because those are the giant viewing things, so the film is probably pretty
good,
right?
Microfilm would be more.
What is microfiche? Like, what was that?
Although at this point, I don't know. Tiny film, I guess, from a tiny camera.
Okay, so to bring us into the 22nd century, that is where I hide my micro SD card.
Yes,
there you go.
Micro SD.
Micro, whatever, mini micro. It actually uses a micro SD.
Just say data chip. Because that
sounds old, though.
But it's timeless. That could happen. You could have a data chip in any future. Time.
And
it's just a chip with
data. I'm not saying how big it is.
And you're not saying what the format is.
Oh.
Could be FAT32, could be something else. Don't know.
It's PAL.
could be a terabyte, who knows?
Yeah, a terabyte of 580p resolution chipness. So I have a I don't know, I guess it's a false tooth. I had a root canal years ago, which are nowhere near as bad as people make out. I guess I'll start there because it's kind of funny. So
root canals, hilarious.
Well, leading up to the root canal. So I was working in Brooklyn, had no insurance, of course. Not that dental stuff's ever covered very well. And I was working in a little like corner. Like I always wanted to work in one of these places, a little corner private restaurant.
Uh huh.
Very well regarded in the neighborhood, run by a fucking psychopath. This guy, like, he...
Did he just haul off and hit you and knock a tooth out?
That would have been actually a lot cheaper, to be
honest. Let's make that the story.
And that's how I have a false tooth scene. No, he had a lot of anger issues, and he really creeped me out. And he would just stare at you until you made eye contact with him, and then he'd, like, find a reason for you to be yelled at.
Would that be a game, then? You would just try not to make eye contact?
That was my game. Oh, yeah. No, this guy must have thought that I was lost in thought all the time. Because he would be right here. And I'd like be watching you out of the corner of my eye, and I'd just be like, and I'd do the squint, you know, the squint thing where you're like, you're really thinking about something, you're not looking at anything in particular.
Yeah.
Because I was watching him out of the corner of my eye. And this guy and boobs are the reason my peripheral vision are so good.
Would you like turn to him and go, whoa, hey, didn't see you there?
No, I felt like that'd be pushing it too much. Because like when he's right, I mean, we get to the point where he'd be like right here, like is where you are to me, and I would pretend not to know he's there. Or do we be lost in thought?
And to be clear for people who can't see this, Mike's nose is touching my cheek. And
I'm licking my ear right now.
I don't appreciate
coconut
that.
Coconut butter?
That's not what I usually put on there.
Mm.
But I could appreciate that it might taste like that.
I licked a lot of ears in my days, Mike. I don't know. That tastes like ear-friendly coconut
butter. Out of 10, how would you rate that?
I'd rate it an 8.5.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're holding up well in this snowy winter that we now have.
The ears are awfully dry, though.
Not according to my
Not home. Anymore.
No. Well,
one
of them.
Not at all now.
One of them. So I suddenly had tooth pain. So I had lost most of this tooth a long time ago. I had like one like wall of the tooth.
So it had rotted or it had just...
Yeah, and just like broken off. And like I grew up with, like my family did not go to dentists.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, well, I guess this is the thing I'm going to deal with my whole life.
Avoiding any sort of fluoride.
any Florida? What?
Fluoride.
I mean, I brushed, but...
It was a... It's a Dr. Strangelove reference, being paranoid about...
Oh, they're fluorinating the water. Right. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Sorry.
Sorry. No, that was on me. Yeah.
Well, it's because we were talking about giving Simon fluoride today, so...
Oh, okay.
So it's all timely.
It turned out I am topical.
Wow. You're so topical, you were pro-topical.
Yeah.
Proto-topical. So, Eric, I've been complaining a while that my breath smelled like onions.
Ah. Because you had an abscess.
Sure. I had a rotten fucking tooth in my head.
Okay, when you have an abscess that smells really bad, because there's a rotten thing inside the tooth.
Right.
And that's what's giving off the bad odor.
I don't remember them saying that, but that is what was happening, so...
That's what happens.
But I didn't know. I had no clue.
You get used to it. But yeah. To other people, it's like, whoa, is that?
It was...
What died in your mouth? And it was my tooth. My
it
tooth
was died. Onion, though. For her, it was onion. And she hates onions, so...
Yeah.
So, of course, I make, you know, cook with onions all the time. I didn't think anything of it. But then I got, for the first time in my life, I got, like, a serious toothache. And it wasn't going away.
Yeah.
And so my boss was like, you should go to my dentist. And he's like, you got to get, this tooth is done. It's been done for a while. You got to get it taken out. So they root canaled it. And it wasn't that bad. Maybe because the pain wasn't so intense at that point.
Well, he probably knocked you the hell out, right?
Just Novocaine me.
That's it?
Yeah. Hardcore. Oh! I was like, I had to drill myself. I was like, ah!
Ah,
Marathon Man, this motherfucker.
No. Nice reference.
It's the only scene I've seen of that.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman, Roy Scheider, Sir Laurence Olivier.
My dear boy, why don't you try acting?
Yes.
One of the best acting stories of all time.
Probably not true, but yeah.
still a great anecdote for acting 101 in college. So good.
I don't know. I was going to say something, but it'll come back to me. I'll interrupt you when
I'll talk about boring tooth shit. The end is kind of interesting. Dental modern dentistry is interesting. So this dentist is really cool, and he's like, you know, you have to pay a lot because you don't have insurance. I'm like, I get it, whatever. It ended up costing me like $3,000 because dental shit's
ooh,
no joke.
Yeah.
So it was like the checkups. They did the root canal, which was entirely like there's no way to get that discounted because the periodontal stuff is even more expensive. So my dentist is like, well, I'm gonna try to cut you as much as I can. So he, instead of putting a post in, he like just made like a, he filled the hole with a cement.
He just gave you a cheap...
Just straight up, is like he mixed it up, right? And he had the cement truck come and just held my mouth open. And he's like, okay, now spit out everything that doesn't stick in the tooth.
He took it out to the sidewalk that he just poured. Here, bite down there. All right.
I bit the curb, but I did it willingly. It was really weird.
Well, when it hasn't set yet, you're okay.
It's like the Hollywood bite of fame.
And if you go to Brooklyn today, at this one corner, you can still see Mike Carossi's teeth
marks. And there's
one
divot where there's a tooth missing. So he got me a crown, I guess that would be the proper term for it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'm pretty confident that I'm using like industrial grade dental adhesive. So I think it's going to stick to the cementing I did.
Probably.
And it has. It's been great. There's been no problems with it.
Do you have to get it touched up every once in a while?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get checkups now. Okay. Ever since then I learned. I was like, no matter how I grew up, I'm going to have dental insurance. I'm going to fucking use it. Yeah.
Commendable.
Thank you. So there is bone loss there. Oh. So it's really weird. Every dentist I've had for years now has been like, your teeth are perfect. Everything about your teeth is perfect except this one tooth is just receded bone-wise. And it hasn't receded anymore. I think it happened all at that time, and then it stopped when they did the canal. So my dentist now has been on me for a while. They're like, you got to fucking go. You got to, you know, they got to fix. You have a 7-millimeter pocket where there's just bacteria just theoretically collecting. It hasn't been because I think of the intermittent fasting, I think helps a lot. But... So today I finally went. I was like, fuck it. So I roll into this ridiculous upscale Pittsburgh periodontal place.
All right.
What's it called? It's called Progressive Implantology and Periodontics.
Wow. That sounds very technical.
I was offered water at both, chilled and room temperature. No joke.
Hot tea. That just means they have a small
cocoa,
fridge.
Coffee.
They got a stack of bottles in the back.
They knew how to turn that
fridge
into a plus. Let me tell you. No, it's Pittsburgh. I'm sure someone's been like, "Oh, you don't have room temperature."
Well, that's totally legit, especially in a dentist's office.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Because I also have a cap on one of my teeth, and I hadn't gone to the dentist in a while. This is years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I'd been having, like, it got worse and worse and worse. I was having just super sensitivity to temperature changes in that one tooth.
So it wasn't like a shooting throbbing pain, it was a sensitivity issue.
Oh, it was a shooting pain.
But it was brought about specifically.
When I opened my mouth and breathed in, would like be, whoa, that hurts. It was crazy sensitive. The dentist I went to said he'd never seen anybody that had it that extreme. Like I would eat cereal and I would just have to eat on one side of the mouth because the cold milk would.
Did he stroke your hair and call you a baby?
Yes.
Okay.
And it made me feel better.
Until you breathed again.
Yeah. But it was awful. So in that situation, yes, I certainly would have preferred the room temperature water to the chilled water.
It just felt like a Pittsburgh thing to me. And the amount of options, the coffee, the hot cocoa, the tea, the room temperature water, the chilled water. Anyway, so the cool thing about this place is they said, well, traditionally what we'd have to do is, you know, they took a full x-ray and they're like, everything's fine except this one tooth. I'm like, that's what everyone tells me. So they're like, traditionally at other places who don't have lasers, we'd have to like use a scalpel and peel the gum back and then get in there and clean it. And then if that didn't work, because
that sounds awful.
Yeah. And they're like, well, what I figured they were going to have to do, and I was dreading it, was they're like, and then if that didn't work, you have to cut the gum down to the pocket and then give stitches. And they're like, that's what everyone hates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, the root canal was nothing compared to that, I'm sure. They're like, luckily we use lasers. So she points to this thing. She's like, that's a $100,000 laser. And it's like this little weird stand that looks kind of, you know, everything in the medical industry looks clunky. It never looks cool. Like, you hear $100,000 laser and you're like expecting some James Bond villain kind of shit. But no, it's just this fucking like off white.
Like lumpy, like, yeah like not ergonomic at all.
Not at all. But the tip was cool. So apparently, this is what the, like, I was just totally rolling with, like, if it's going to cost under a grand, I'm just going to do it. Because I'm just sick of my dentist bugging me about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just have my head from New York. Like, a grand is about what a tooth issue will cost me. Even with insurance. I was way off. It was actually way less, which was awesome. But she goes, yeah, so we see that tip. And so there was like a little fiber optic, like, prong on it. And she goes, yeah, so that slides, you know, we don't need to use a scalpel. That slides into the pocket. And they said, they developed a laser that only targets like dead and bad tissue.
Bad stuff.
It's a bad stuff laser.
It only kills bad stuff.
Right. I'm sure Donald Trump would have something to say about immigration with this.
No. I mean, it's like when you're playing a first person shooter and you have team damage off.
Right.
You can't hurt your own team. You're only hitting the bad guys.
Friendly fire is off.
Yeah. Spray and pray and. You know,
and it all goes away.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
No?
Okay. Well, maybe someday.
It sounds just like that. I mean, that's how I'm imagining it.
So she goes, yeah, so...
Just hit my whole face with this then.
Just fucking go nuts, man. I love the smell of napalm mouth in the morning.
Just shoot every part of my body. Why don't you? Yeah.
Get the dead skin cells. So I'm going to go in next month and they're going to stick this little fiber optic doodad down into my gum and shoot a laser into it. Check it. And the goal is to get all the bacteria and roughage out, get it nice and smooth, and then the gum can reattach.
Yeah. Are they going to fill it in with something?
No, that's the whole point, is they clean it so completely that the gum reattaches.
Okay.
Hopefully. And then I go back for a special cleaning, and I get some crazy mouthwash that's, like, crazy powerful.
They don't need, like, spackle in a hole or anything.
They might. I don't know. I don't know what this laser does. Maybe this laser has a spackle mode. Be like, can I get some stucco? What? Can I get some stucco?
You don't want stucco in the mouth.
I don't know.
Your tongue's going to run up against it, and it's going to be all sharp.
Oh,
and,
yeah, it's gonna be really
you
sharp.
Don't want that. You want it smooth.
I don't touch the walls in my guest bathroom because of that. No. I don't know why they stuccoed it. It's weird. So that's my exciting day today. That and then I've been staring at PowerPoint for weeks.
So you went to the dentist, but nothing really happened today.
No, I got that fancy folder.
Yeah, okay.
Look at this business card.
Talk to us after you've been hit by a laser, Mike.
I will.
I don't care about the folder.
Suspense. Look how fancy that is. If this were American Psycho, I'd have a long monologue.
What is this? Is this metal? No.
It's a black
It's
Amex.
Shiny.
It
I
is
don't know.
Shiny. Yeah,
I thought
no,
it might be
right.
like foil or something, but it's not.
They had a woman whose only job was to talk to me about financing.
It's like a car dealership.
I was like, I mean, when you hear that, you're like, oh, fuck, how much is this going to run me? But apparently with my insurance, it's going to be $1.83.
Okay.
And I'm like, really? All right. Because apparently my insurance will actually cover part of it. So that was good news.
As it should. You should have good insurance.
I should. It's out of California, which is always weird.
Why?
Because I work for a California-based company.
Oh, all right.
So.
There's a joke there somewhere, but I'm not. I can't come up with it.
Did you remember what you were going to say before?
No, I think I did. I covered it with my sensitive, my temperature sensitive tooth.
Oh,
that was my
more.
Big trip.
Okay.
No, I was saying the only other thing about that is I was such a wuss about it, and I was in such pain that when he was doing the process to, you know, I guess cut it out, he capped it. I didn't get I did not get the full
Monty.
The full Monty.
Didn't stick his dick in your mouth.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Did he knock you out?
Kind of. I didn't get the full, oh my God, you said it a few minutes ago. And
root canal?
Yes, root canal.
You got a partial root canal?
Something like that.
Just
they didn't
tip?
Kill the nerve because the nerve was still very much alive.
So they dug all the bad shit out around it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they just capped over the it's still alive is what I'm saying. Because the root canal kills it all.
It's alive.
Yeah. That's the big thing about the root canal.
Oh, yeah.
They drill out every bit of it.
They excavate anything that used to be alive.
Still alive in here. But the during the process, I was so sensitive that the Novocaine wasn't enough. And they had to, I mean, just having my mouth open and breathing was terrible.
Jesus Christ.
So they gave me gas.
Wow.
It was like the laughing gas stuff.
Old school.
That was trippy, man. That was
So it doesn't just make you laugh, it's more than that.
No, it makes you not really give a shit.
So they got you high.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
Yes, not kind of that's not even kind is. Of. That was they got me high, yes.
In Portland and
I was high, I was giggly. I didn't have the munchies, oddly enough.
I was just going to say, were you hungry?
But no. But it was an experience. I never had that before. I'd been knocked out for wisdom teeth being taken out. Because I had, like, bad impacted wisdom teeth.
I have a wisdom tooth. It's in.
Impacted or it's...
No, it's... I can chew with it.
Oh, well, then you're good. You don't need... Yeah.
And then I had one come and then went back in.
Oh, that... Might need some work.
We did it like 10 years ago. It's just been chilling in there. It's just like I'm gonna come back someday, maybe.
Anyway, I got them all taken out,
and
one was bad impacted. I don't remember any other part of that because they truly and totally knocked my butt out.
Anesthesia.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, which was fine. I'd prefer it that way. But
did you have a weird anesthesia experience?
I don't remember it. I really don't.
Really?
No.
I remember mine. I had my adenoids removed. I was like 12. I used to get like freakishly bad earaches.
Ooh.
Keep me up all night, like constantly.
So you had what removed?
Adenoids. They're like back behind your ear, kind
of. Like some sort of.
I don't know. They might be sort of vestigial. I don't really know if they do anything at this point. But yeah, so I had a tube in my ear and I had really bad earaches and they finally said, we got to remove your son's adenoids.
Something like a lymph node, or
I
we'll have to look it up later.
Yeah, I really honestly know.
All right,
you would think I would know because I don't have them anymore. But yeah, I just never cared. So happy to have them gone.
It's probably something you're like terribly important that now you can't.
I'll never levitate like everyone else. Damn it! All I wanted was to levitate, but I'll never forget. This will always be very firmly in my mind. I was letting, you know, you're on your back and it's like an alien abduction experience. So they put the mask on and there was a doctor and two nurses kind of periodically peeking over me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look up and you see sort of a whitish room and then it was gone. It was just black. But I could still see them very clearly above me. So like my foreground vision was still intact, but anything past a certain point was just nothing. And then that's all I remember. But it was very strange. Like, looking back, just thinking, like, I couldn't see. Like, if I were looking at you, I would see nothing past your shoulder.
Does it seem frightening now, or is it like, eh?
No, it's just weird. Happened. It's just, and it stuck in my memory, which is strange, too. But that's my anesthesia experience. So I just, but you don't remember anything.
No.
You were an adult?
Yeah, but it was still like, God, at least 20 years ago. Because I'm old, and 20 years ago I was still an adult. So there you go. Do the math. But no, the laughing gas was, I remember that. I remember, like, you know, I'm reclined in the seat, and they're, like, doing stuff, and I got my, you know, the feet up on the the footrest, whatever, and my toe, like, keeps twitching. My foot, my whole foot is, like, kind of twitching, and I'm just, like, amused as hell by this. Like, hey, look, my foot's twitching.
You know, your body's like, ah, the pain, ah!
But no, I didn't, I don't remember any pain, I just remember my foot twitching. Like, oh, look at that,
That's so funny. Yeah, based on what I have read about being high, it sounds like you were high. I've read intensely about the experience of being high on the internet when I'm buying drugs and
on the internet
from internet sites. Did I ever tell you about? So I had a housemate who really wanted to do absinthe. By do, I mean drink absinthe.
Like real absinthe.
Real absinthe, not the shit they
sell.
Not
the absinthe you can actually buy legitimately in a store.
Exactly.
And yes. So I think everybody knows somebody like this. Because I do.
But did I ever tell you the story of what happened?
No.
And apparently it was a video. It's
like what? Wormwood? That's like the real.
It eats your brain.
Yeah, it's like super terrible for you.
Awful for you, yeah. So in the heyday of the internet, like, so this was, let's see, I live with him in 02. So this would have been like 2000, 2001, back when no one really knew what to do, especially the government, no one really knew what to do with the internet, so you could get away with some weird shit.
Yeah.
So he found a Czechoslovakian vendor who sold a 3-pack of different flavors of legit absinthe. So he and his roommates were like, shit, we gotta fucking order this. Like, one of them was a legitimate drug dealer, and he was like, I'm not sure I want to do this. But my one housemate
was
like,
really not much recourse if there's a problem with the product at this point.
I'm going to find that Czechoslovakian drug deal. I mean,
I am going to write you such a negative eBay review.
Hey, that used to mean something. I don't think it does anymore. So they got this 3-pack, and so there was a video that some of my friends saw that I did not see, unfortunately. But suffice to say,
hallucinated, bad trip.
It ended
in the hospital, would not buy again.
1 star. 1 star. Fast shipping, though. Was well packaged. Lots of cushioning. I guess in the end, this one housemate of mine was like the most gung-ho about it. So it ended with him underneath the kitchen table, trying to bite people because he just kept yelling, I'm a turkey. He just kept yelling, gobble, gobble, I'm a turkey. And they'd be like, dude, come out from under the table. They'd go to get him and he'd bite their hand. It's all on video.
Do we have that video somewhere?
I've never seen it. Friends of mine claim to have seen it. It's one of those things that's like, I don't know if this is even an urban legend at this point because I never got to see it, but it sounded awesome. And it was plausible looking back at the state of the internet circa 2001, where so few people knew what the fuck they were doing that you could get away with a lot. I like to think, because I wasn't one of the people who knew what they were doing. I was downloading some shitty anime hentai from the college network.
And there you go.
It's all tentacle porn, Spike. Entire network devoted to tentacle porn.
It still is, mostly.
These millennials, they don't know what to do with the internet either. Shit.
Nah, we were on the internet back like when Roadrunner first started coming out. My roommate and I were in Long Island, Farmingdale. And
was this late 90s or early 2000s?
Late 90s. Late 90s.
Yeah,
the
Roadrunner came out late 90s.
Yeah, so Roadrunner just came out.
That was the shit.
My roommate was the one who was more like into the tech side of stuff. And he got it as soon as it was available.
Was it crazy expensive?
I don't know. I didn't think it was that expensive. But it was like, it was crazy unthrottled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so he found this thing called, they probably still have it, Shoutcast.
Yeah, I've heard of Shoutcast.
Which was basically like you could have your own radio station.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe I heard about it from you.
Probably. So you just like play your MP3s, whatever. And it was a radio station. Other people could log into Shoutcast and
there's no like rights management or anyone chasing after you about it.
Yeah. And you could like set the compression rate for what the people would be pulling down. Mm-hmm. And it was all live streaming, of course.
Wow.
So We didn't set any limit. We were like streaming like full whatever 192 kilobytes
per second. If you're on dial up, that's insane.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, if you're on dial up, you weren't tuned into that station.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we had like a maximum of 5 users, but they were all just pulling down this like ridiculously heavy stream from us. And
at the time.
Yeah, at the time, and it was again, it was unthrottled. But that didn't last too long. I think we were partially responsible for caps starting to go out on
thanks,
internet
Dick.
Usage. Yeah, you're welcome.
We have significantly higher download speeds than we're supposed to. You know, they sell you the 10.1.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, according to the guy, we're close to the Time Warner box.
Okay.
You know, like every X number of houses, you have faster or slower service depending on how close you are to the box.
I thought it was how many houses were on the box for cable.
You know what? I am not claiming to be accurate here. This is right. Like what a cable guy told me.
I'm not either, so it could be somewhere in between.
Well, I know that load plays a part.
The truth lies in between here.
I know that around, you know, 3 p.m. when all the kiddies get home, the internet used to drop, but I don't really have that problem.
But for DSL, it's definitely how close you are. But I thought for cable, it was, you know, if there's only like a handful of people on the same
circuit
or loop or whatever, you would get a much higher speed.
DS3.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw around my VoIP knowledge.
But you're happy with your download speed.
Oh, yeah. Upload sucks, but it always does because that's, you know, I dream of 20 meg reciprocal up and down, but I've never lived anywhere where Fios was. And Google Fiber, where the fuck is that coming? I'm going to be. Greenlight's never going to make it out here, I've decided. We have a local, you know, fiber push. I've signed the survey thing.
Yeah.
It's petition. Not going anywhere. It's never going to go anywhere.
Nah.
Because laying fiber is so fucking expensive.
It's really the only reason that we still have cable TV, because it, you know, you get it as part of a package with Roadrunner, which is still the only decent
game.
It's
the only game
in
town. Yeah, it's that or DSL. Did you hear what happened today though?
No.
The FCC?
What? There's news? What?
Yeah, so the FCC, it was today or yesterday. I'm literally reading this like an hour before you came over. They just broke the monopoly on they're forcing cable and satellite providers to make their decoder open source. So it's going to take like 3 years minimum, but you will be able to either buy a third-party hardware device or an app that will decode cable signal. You will no longer be required to get the shit fucking cable boxes that are out there.
So how do they...
It just happened. No one knows anything right now.
Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Now I'm not sure how they would prevent people from tapping into it.
That was their claim. That was their whole thing. It's like, you're going to cause blah, blah. And they're like, we're not deregulating that. I don't know. I don't understand any of it.
I don't know. Interesting. I have no follow-up.
Any questions?
Nope.
Any questions from you, sir?
No questions.
In the hoodie and
none
glasses.
None whatsoever.
That isn't me.
I do not have a hand up.
The other
stop
guy in hoodies and glasses.
Stop pointing at me.
There's nobody
let
else
go
here.
Of my lapels, sir.
Sir, tell
stop
me
shaking
what questions
me.
You have. Physical comedy tonight.
So. I guess I have some news. You did a take there. I can have news. It's not
no,
that
it wasn't
weird.
That. It was the way you said it belies.
No, you
news.
Did a take there as if like it's bizarre for me to have some sort of thing to tell anyone.
First of all, I drank a fairly strong mojito and did a lot of taste testing before you arrived. Second of all, it was not intended as that kind of take. It was a uh-oh kind of take.
Okay.
Did your balls fall?
To be fair, no.
Okay.
To be fair, it was not a double take, so I'll go with that.
Or a spit take.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Because of all the electronics, you know it's going towards you.
Yeah, there's nothing else
I literally
here.
Don't have a spot. Because I literally would have to shoot it at you. I have nowhere else to spit take.
You're certainly not going to Aerith.
Aerith is sacrosanct. She's not getting spit taked. She died. Smike, and you can't bring her back except in the Japanese version. Oh, and by the way, Sephiroth killed her, but we proved that last episode. Go on. So, what's your news?
So what is my news? Oh, okay. Okay. So, as as some of you may know, I do occasionally appear on stage as an actor here in the Rochester area. Greater Rochester area. Not always with a pole on the stage, Mike. Not always.
But you ride it so well.
Trying to get away from that. Trying to branch out.
Keeps you in shape.
So I auditioned for a show.
Oh.
It's for a group out of pocket players. It's
Jeff
and Stephanie Shooter. I know them. I've known them for a long time. I kind of somewhat helped them get married. So that's.
I really want to cut to like together. A romantic comedy montage where you're like fighting off her ex and you're like paying off a guy to get like a Ferrari for their driveway
it's
car.
It's nothing that like... nothing that exciting. I guess.
Well, it is now.
Okay, we'll go into it. So pretty soon after I moved into the area from Long Island.
The greater Rochester area.
Yeah, I jumped in the theater in the area and I got parts in a couple plays and I ended up... directing a show after like a year or two, with the group The Penfield Players,
mm-hmm.
who's still around. They've been around for a long time. But anyway.
You're saying they're old.
Yes. So I got in and I got to a point where people were comfortable and I directed the show. And it was Don't Drink the Water, which is an old Woody Allen show.
Also a Dave Matthews song. I'm showing my age.
Okay, and I'm showing mine. Although Don't Drink the Water is like even before my time, so it was a pretty old play.
Specify that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like this old Cold War theme play. Anyway, I cast both Jeff and Stephanie in the show, and apparently they had like gone on a date or something in the past, but they kind of like not followed up much on it. But after being put in the same cast together, being forced to see each other on a daily basis or at least a weekly basis, they decided to continue on, go out again, and ended up getting married.
Okay, we gotta sex this story up, dude.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Just let's take a step back.
What?
So now we know what really happened. So let's try to find a middle point between what really happened and the punching a guy and the Ferrari payoff. Because this, I'm going to say it started when you had a prophetic dream where you knew that there was a man and a woman you had to cast in your show, right? You didn't know
quite
who they were.
I saw them in the auditions. They were kind of occasionally glancing at each other, but they didn't want to make eye contact.
No. They didn't know it. Only you knew it because you were the director.
Yeah. Okay.
You saw the chemistry that was going to grow between them.
I saw their auras merging, even
yes.
though they themselves couldn't tell.
Thank you.
How's that?
It's a good start. And then the show was underway, and you were in rehearsals, and then...
The show fell away. The actors, the roles, nothing was important except the two of them and bringing them together.
So the passion, the potential passion.
I threw away the script.
Really?
I said, the two of you will be naked on stage together, and you will say nothing, but you will stare into each other's eyes, and that will go on for an hour and a half.
Did they fight
followed
this?
By a 10-minute intermission, followed by another 90 minutes of you two staring into each other's eyes.
Naked.
We got great reviews, by the way, for that.
City newspaper?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So did they fight this, or were they all for it? Was there hesitation that then the love blossomed because of it?
Yes.
Now, isn't that a nicer story? Nothing against you. Just think you need a little bit of panache.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
My dear boy, why don't you try acting?
So anyway, they do the two of them do out-of-pocket productions. Usually one of the two of them is directing, producing, whatever. It's their gig. They do it, and they always set up some sort of charity, so the proceeds for whatever show they're doing go to a charitable organization. So it's cool. It's cool. It's cool for them to do that. So they were auditioning a couple of weeks ago for a play called, I can't even remember, I think it's called The Language Archive, but...
Oh, you
I
got cast in a
I
show
know, I
and
know.
You don't know what
I didn't
show
say
in.
I got cast, did I?
What the fuck else is this conversation?
All right. So anyway,
guys, just want you to know, I tried out for a show and I did not get a part. Thank you.
There might be a story there. I don't know. Jeez. So yeah, Jeff kind of gave me a tap a couple of times. Like, hey, can you come audition? And, you know, I try, and you probably know how this is. You don't want to read anything. If somebody asks you to audition, you're like, that's cool. Don't make any assumptions. I'm just going to audition, not assuming I'm getting anything, just because you've been asked by the director. Never assume anything.
I always assume everyone's going to cast me or have sex with me or sell me drugs.
Well, one of those things is probably true.
Okay.
At any given time. Anyway, I try not to make those
always
assumptions.
Sell me drugs. I'm sorry. Go on.
So I go there the night of the auditions. I show up. I'm like, I show up pretty much right on time. Most other actors show up a little earlier, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Early is on time is late.
Yeah. I show up on time.
So you're late.
I wasn't late.
By theater standards, you were late.
No. That's by asshole employer standards.
No, that's asshole theater director standards.
Okay.
I'm looking at you, Randy Kaplan.
So I go in, I see Jeff, I see Stephanie, and I get I do the sign-in thing, and then I go into the back room where all the other actors are.
And they're all naked.
No, but they're like 98% of the other actors there are women.
You're like, ladies.
There are for this show, there are two male parts and three female parts. Two male roles and three female roles.
Thank you. That's just better. It's just not going to edit out, but it's better.
So I go into the room and all the women turn to me like, "Hey, we got a man." I'm like, "Wow, this is awesome. I'm going to go back out and come back in. If you all can all do that again, that would just make my day."
Did you actually do that?
No, I did say that.
Okay. You get points for saying
it. It was great. It was definitely an ego boost for all these women to turn to you and say, "Yay!" Like, how do you get better than that?
Orgy.
Well,
You know what? The logistics, no, yeah, they don't.
Leave that to your imagination.
I don't understand it.
Just orgies in general?
Yeah. Well, no, like the four ways or whatever. I don't get them. Although I did watch a very classy porno in which it did elucidate that somewhat.
Was there a good plot?
It's
when you say classy.
Yes, that's why it's classy. It was a big budget. It's called The Opening.
Because you're like, okay, I didn't get it before, but this totally makes sense. It happened so organically.
Orgasmically? It was an attempt at making a legitimizing porn. It's called The Opening of Misty Beethoven. It's older.
Mm-hmm.
70s, 80s.
So wait, is this kind of a meta thing where it's a porn about making porn? Or is
it's a porn that's an homage to like Pygmalion and My Fair Lady.
Okay.
So it's the opening of Misty Beethoven.
Was there a musical number in this?
I don't remember. If there was, I do not recall it. But so my wife's boss was like, "You guys really need to watch this porn. It's really good." And we're like, "All right, an attempt at legit porn."
And this is, by the way, somehow not sexual harassment.
I'm not going to say which boss it was, but this was not unusual for this particular boss of my wife to be. I think he just told everyone about this movie too.
Uh huh.
But
to be clear, not taken at all.
Oh,
as
no,
sexual
this was
harassment.
Legitimately him being like, "I enjoyed this artistic attempt at legitimizing porn. I think you would as well." And so,
and the response being, "Oh, thank you. I would like to see this.
Please provide us with said celluloid on DVD." Not anyway. So there was one scene where Misty Beethoven, in her preparing for her big opening, which was just an orgy. Because it kind of made sense. It still lacked some of the sensibility of movies. But there was more than porn, usually. I mean, it was beyond the, I'm here to deliver the pizza. Oh, let's have sex. Okay. Yeah, it's a little more than that.
There was some character development.
There was like straight up tons of character development and a lot of BJs. And the scene I'm remembering in particular was like, I don't know what they were trying to teach her, but it was integral that she get three guys off at the same time.
Okay.
And she did. And it was very impressive. All simultaneously. But that was the one time I was like, oh, okay. I get like a foursome. This kind of makes sense. Because the logistics of this shit always escape me when I try to puzzle through them in my mind. I just don't understand how. But then I was like, oh, okay. Well, no one's having sex, but I get this at least. I guess she could have done four guys if she hadn't been having sex. Maybe five. But it was three.
All right. Well, we'll have to provide a link to that.
The opening of Misty Beethoven. Find it somewhere. I'm sure it's on the internet.
Shouldn't be too hard to find.
The internet is for porn.
Yes.
But that's so you got cast. I'm hoping that's...
Well, again, I'm not making any assumptions when I...
Oh, okay.
Go into this.
You got propositioned by a room full of women. You got ego boosted by
a room full of women. I got ego boosted by a room full of women. And I know like half of them, so it's not, you know...
It's getting more weird the more you talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. So, I did end up getting the part mainly because...
You weren't a woman?
Because there weren't any other guys who were auditioning for this part.
That's what I meant, but I wanted to say it more properly.
Yeah, sure. Do we want the noise?
Yeah, I want the noise. Yeah, there we go.
Which is cool because Jeff is directing it, and Jeff's a great guy, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
it's always cool to be cast in a play, but you know, there's being cast because you're like the director thinks you're the right person for the part, and there's being cast because you're the only guy
for the part because you're the only guy.
Yeah.
That was what going to Geneseo was like, by the way, in the theater department. It's like, oh, there's twice as many women as men in the theater department in particular. Well, good for you.
So that's going to happen in like May or something.
Nice. Yeah. We will find an excuse not to come, but really genuinely try.
And it should not piss off my wife.
That's saying something.
Yes.
There's a lot of triggers.
There are. And I try to avoid them. I try really hard to avoid them.
I think you should seek them out. It would spice up your love life. And then you should watch the opening of Misty Beethoven.
Nah, okay. We're getting a little far afield here.
Only for you.
So did you want to say anything about your Geneseo experiences there?
I got a lot of parts because there weren't a lot of guys. That was the whole thing.
Did you hook up at all through that?
Yeah. Right. I was one of the only straight guys in a building filled with gay men and there lots and go. Lots of single women. So, yeah, I mean.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. Freshman year, I was just I was all over the place. Sophomore year, I tried to clamp down on it, had more interesting experiences. Junior year, I got my first serious girlfriend. And then I broke up with her senior year, and then I went fucking hog wild.
Wait, you had your first serious, like, first series or just first college series?
No.
First series and junior in college.
College.
Wow.
When you look up late bloomer in the dictionary, there's me. Yeah.
Well, good for you saving yourself sort of.
They called me Father Mike freshman year. I was where drunk people came to detox and watch movies. I was a very sweet guy. I was very innocent. I discovered some things sophomore year and then some more things junior year. And then by senior year, I just went fucking nuts. And then we were the party house and I was like, yeah, I'm single. I kind of became an asshole for like a semester. Like, I'm not.
That's all right. You're allowed for a semester.
I had to get it out of my system. You know what I mean? And so then after that, it was. And then I moved to New York and I was like, oh. Big fish, small pond. Small fish, very big pond full of metrosexuals, which I'm not. So the pickens got slim. I was mining I've been mining Geneseo connections straight up to marriage. That's how I did it. No lie. Worked out well. No complaints. Just saying. Geneseo.
Good place to go to find...
Get your maturity on.
Significant others?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know that the extremely wealthy like the one percenters of the country, have a book that comes out every year.
What? Why don't I have this? Nobody's.
Okay. I'm not going to explain this to you if you have to ask. But there is, so all the kids in the Ivy League schools, there's a book that comes out that their parents buy or get. I don't know, maybe
not. Are you making this up?
No, is we studied. Legit? I spent a semester, one of the classes I took was studying, like, the uber rich in sociology.
They have classes on that?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, it was fascinating. They don't live like you think they do.
Okay.
There's, like, certain things that they, like, it's not about not being excessive. It's like they live without certain basic markers of a like a healthy home life. It's very strange.
This is fascinating.
It is. So I'll start with, so there's this catalog, this book, whatever, that every year is released, or used to be, that for all the Ivy League schools.
It's probably online now.
Yeah, but I would guess. It's on gold and Swarovski crusted tablets. And it lists the genealogy of every student. So that your daughter goes away to Vassar and comes home with a boyfriend, and you can consult the review and see who this guy is.
What?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's basically like a matchmaking approval system.
It's like a Bene Gesserit sort of stuff.
Sure.
Am I pronouncing that right? I'm sure I'm mangling that.
I don't think so, because I don't know what you're talking about.
From Dune?
Oh, no, I think you are saying it right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, they had the whole, like, genealogy project where they were trying to breed the Messiah.
Okay, that was a little bit more than where... But yes,
a little bit, but not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Well, if Jesus was a white, you know, wasp, then yes, exact same thing. But yeah, so there's that. What else did we learn? This was, guys, years ago. So if you go into a home...
Or was that just to make sure they're not hooking up with somebody they're related to?
No. I mean, that's not what we learned. It was to ensure that they were not... It was to prevent goodwill hunting.
Uh-huh.
You don't want the pool boy who happens to be a genius, you know, marrying into your family.
Okay.
Because pish posh. But yeah, if you go into their homes, there's like there'll be tons of ancestral like paintings, but you won't actually get a sense of their home life in photographs. They hide them.
They hide
photographs and televisions. They're hidden. They don't
and televisions.
Yeah, again, this is just shit we learned.
This must be an old thing.
I took this
because if you've got like 120-inch.
That's nouveau riche. You're thinking nouveau riche. This is old money.
All right.
Nouveau riche, none of that applies.
Because that's loud. Hiding TV, I think, is like, oh, you got your TV in the cabinet where you shut the doors over it.
Yeah.
And why do you still have that?
The pictures
we have that because we can't physically lift it to get it out to the curb.
And if we could, nobody would take it anyway. But that's the point is they don't live the way normal people live. So the television isn't the main. I mean, this was 14 years ago, so things may have changed with the way the internet is and connectivity is, but it was a time where there were flat screen TVs, so there wasn't an excuse for that. But yeah, it was very, and then like, so you walk into their home and everything is just shitty looking because it's all super fucking old. So their carpets are threadbare.
Did you go on field trips for this? How are you getting this information?
Books.
All right. I'm just saying that you're reading about this stuff, and it seemed like it could be, you know.
These were scholarly journals. I mean, these weren't some dude who was robbing houses, making notes, writing a book.
Well, okay. Now, to be fair, you do have some experience with this.
Robbing homes and writing books?
No. With and maybe this is nouveau rich. You went to Danny Wegman's home, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There were elements of this in Danny Wegman.
Okay.
But he falls more on the nouveau riche. So he had a cocaine habit, and that
clearly
informed his basement. Club D. Clearly informed Club D. Oh, man. But yeah, so his living room was super fucking weird. So he had like it was a lodge. It was this huge Sunshine House, Danny Wegman's house. Huge giant open room. And it had pockets of living rooms in it.
So pockets of living rooms.
You would probably call them pit groups.
Okay.
I would call them pit crews. But so they had like little cordoned off, like kind of islands of couches facing inward.
Yeah.
And he had like three of them.
Uh-huh.
And like two massive fireplaces.
This sounds like an opium den.
Well, it was Club D, the upstairs version. Because Club D was in the basement. But his televisions were disguised as blank paintings. He had these museum quality, like, wrought picture frames around them. So I remember looking at me like, that's like a 100-inch television, but you'd never know it's a TV. It was off. So, no, I mean, some of it was evident there.
All right. So disguising the technology.
It's hiding it. Yeah, I'm guessing at this point, the 12 years, you know, intervening me since I took that class, they've probably adopted technology more.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a lot about like either them not giving a shit or them hiding like actual aspects of their family life. So the pictures were hidden, the pictures of current family, like them showing emotion. All that stuff was very hidden.
So was there a reason for this?
Not that I can comprehend.
Nobody knows.
I think again, it's been 12 years, but it's about presenting. It's the way you present yourself to the outside world. There's just so much more thought and restraint put into it. But these are the people who were riding to town in like paint stained, you know, shorts and an Audi cap or whatever, because they don't care, like a pink polo shirt. Like they don't care, but it's because like everything about them belies that they're a have, not a have not. I'm not doing it justice because it's been over a decade since I took the class, but I found it very interesting that their houses look shitty because it's all old and worth a fortune.
Right.
So threadbare oriental rugs that are, you know, brought over in the Mayflower, that kind of stuff. They drive really fancy cars, but they have really shitty clothing in the cars because they don't care. Like, it's this weird dichotomy of stuff. But to an outsider, someone who is not from that world, it's mind-bogglingly weird. Just very strange. And they were like telling stories about like a little girl overheard at an orchestra who said, "Oh, why is the maitre d' conducting?" And it's like, okay, how much money did this girl grow up with to make that kind of weirdly specific a mistake? You know what I mean? Because of the way he was dressed. Just fascinating stuff. Fascinating. And the plus was I came out of the class thing like I would not, like I always wanted to be like an old money rich person, but I would not want to be that now. It sounds like awful. Just stiff upper lip and just very not enjoying your money at all. Fuck that. I want to enjoy that shit. I want that 120-inch wraparound.
It's not the playboy who's driving fast cars and hooking up with all the women. It's
Gatsby. Gatsby was nouveau riche for the time. When you think about it, you're not reacting, so I don't, I'm just going to keep talking in semi non sequiturs.
All right. This is just such a weird weird concept, I guess.
But that's the point. That's kind of what we all took away. And there were none of us going to SUNY Geneseo that were old money. So I think we all had the same reaction where it's like, this is very strange. Like, we can't quite wrap our heads around it. We can write a paper on it because writing a paper for Geneseo Sociology Department and getting an A was not a hard thing to do. It's a very touchy-feely department. It was phenomenal. Not very quantitative. But that's sociology, you know, except for stats. Stats was awful. My poor stats teacher had a nervous breakdown, like not long before he taught it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a weird class.
All right. So is this where I need to get into my parents?
Talk
about them.
Yeah. Let's get into your parents.
Okay.
Shit. We haven't unearthed the background of Mike in a while.
All right. So my parents are kind of the opposite of what you're describing.
Okay. They have money.
They do now. My dad came from a relatively poor family in Mississippi.
Ba-da-ling, ding, ding.
I mean, it's Mississippi. There you go.
There's no old money left in Mississippi.
No, there's not much there. Anyway, my dad came from a relatively not well off family, and I guess that's kind of that affected him a lot.
Yeah.
He went to the Navy. He went to college. He got, you know, he got a degree.
He bettered himself.
He totally bettered himself. You know, the classic self-made man,
mm-hmm.
who got the education, got the jobs, got the better jobs, brought up a family. Yeah. amassed wealth.
Did he always want the best of everything?
No.
Okay, that's interesting.
No, he didn't. He wanted good stuff, but he would always like look for a good deal. I'm not saying he was like a cheapskate, but you know, he definitely was.
He retained some of his.
He did, and I think it was a big effort on his part.
Good for him! Wow.
And he, you know, to some extent, passed that on to me.
You do like sales, Mike. You like sales and discounts.
I do. And we were always well off, but you know, we never did anything really ostentatious.
He didn't flaunt it.
He didn't flaunt it. Definitely not. You know, he didn't buy any. Okay, he bought like one sports car, but it was a Mazda. It wasn't like a, you know.
He didn't buy a Bugatti. Bugatti,
no.
Yeah.
No, nothing like that.
They're like a $3 million car.
They're absurd. Yes.
$3 million. My dream car caps out at 200 grand. Bentley Continental GT. That is more than you will ever need to spend on a car. $3 million fucking dollars, Mike. I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, I know. But throughout my childhood, certainly, and maybe I have a warped perspective on this, but probably. It never seemed like we were, you know, we were crazy wealthy, even though we were, I know now, pretty well off.
It's funny because that is something that I remember us looking at.
Does the old money never really think of themselves as being rich?
Because they don't live like it, and their kids never. It never occurs to them. There's a disconnect. I'm not saying you were crazy rich, and obviously you're not old money, but yeah, you would not be aware of your station relative to others unless you were. Faced directly with like a very constantly very impoverished circumstances around you,
mm-hmm.
where you were forced to draw a direct like contrast between yourself and that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I really wasn't. I mean, at least not.
But you had family. Probably wasn't as well off as you, right?
We didn't. We did, but we didn't live near them. We would go visit them.
So your family did. Your father didn't cut ties. That's cool.
No, but it was strained. I always got the feeling it was he had strained ties with the rest of his family because he was the one who went off and kind of got rich, and I think there was some jealousy there with his. He had two sisters and a brother and his parents, and I never really talked to him about this. We're getting into dark stuff here now.
It's not dark, but, I mean, he's getting up there. I know you're not, you don't have the most effusive relationship with your father, but it may be worth having that. I mean, you're both adults at this point. It may be worth having that conversation because you may be surprised. But I never
feel like that. It's weird.
I'm sorry. I've met your parents. I think it's you.
Well, obviously. Obviously it is. And we're playing the fucked up parents game. I can't even compare here.
No, of course not. I always win that game. I met one dude who beat me.
What?
One dude.
How was that? I mean, what? What?
He was gay and his mother hated gays. So I was like, you know what? You win. I can't. Like, your mother was so awful to you, I can't even compete with this.
That was awful.
It was awful. And I genuinely feel like he turned out great, considering how awful his mother was to him. But my point is... I am the last person who's ever going to be like, you need to, you know, really get close to your dad, right? You know that about me. But I think you might be surprised if you were to have a franker conversation than you normally would be comfortable with about your father about that kind of stuff, with your father about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like I know bits and pieces. Like I know he got into I know his father, my grandfather, who I have pretty positive memories about. I later found out that he didn't like my mom and I.
Wow.
Which is like kind of a weird thing to learn.
That is a weird
thing.
Your
grandfather hated you.
That's super weird.
Maybe hate's a strong word, but there was definitely an issue there.
But it wasn't because of you. It had to be with...
I don't think so. My grandfather had a lot of problems. He was a heavy drinker, heavy smoker. Probably pretty safe to say he had an alcohol problem.
Yeah. That's just weird. All I'm saying is your dad's up there. It may be worth, purely as an intellectual curiosity, having a conversation about that.
I'm going to have these conversations eventually.
But I mean, I'm trying to get you to a point where you can not look forward to them, but not dread them. But I'm serious. Do it for the podcast, Mike. Do it for the goddamn podcast.
Oh, man.
No, but have that conversation, because when my father passed, I didn't work through a lot. I just kind of grinned and bared it because I sort of put a lot of it behind me already. But what I discovered was, especially my youngest brother, was things were revealed to him he had no idea about.
But that you knew about.
That I knew about. I took for granted. And I just forgot, oh, yeah, there's a massive age difference between us.
So you just never, like, sat down, hey, you know all this stuff,
Dad? The offer's on the table. That's actually, we had that conversation, and I said, you really should just come, bring your girlfriend, come visit with us, and we'll open up a 12-pack one night, and I'll just lay it all out there for you. What I remember, which is not 100% accurate, but, and he was totally for that, and it's just our work schedules, you know. We were trying to do it this month. It didn't work out, but it might be worth it for you as an intellectual curiosity thing just to really get it. That your dad's story about your family, because man, no one's family is without crazy shit. And you know that there's stuff there.
I know there is crazy shit there, but it's like it's buried.
Yeah, and who wants to go digging, right? Without a reason. If there's not treasure, then buried there. Who the fuck?
No,
wants to
I know it's not good stuff.
But it may give you perspective on your family.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's, I mean, the other thing is my parents are getting up there in age. Obviously, they've been retired for a while, a long time. They're doing pretty okay. They have two houses. They have a place in South Carolina, a place in Florida.
They had to give up the one that had multiple floors, right? Because their friends couldn't handle the stairs anymore.
I don't think they did, but maybe that was one of their. They've had like five different places in Florida,
all on golf courses.
I think so. Yes.
Why? People are constantly walking through your backyard. They're driving golf carts through it.
Well, the place in South Carolina has a golf course in the backyard. The one in Florida, there is a golf course there, but their backyard is like a harbor.
The sand trap.
Well,
no, that's where Flipper is, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. mom can't use the word dolphin. She just says Flipper.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of dolphins that she sees all the time.
So the word Flipper comes up.
The word Flipper comes up like literally every time we talk to her. And it makes my wife crazy.
It would drive me nuts too, because it's that.
Just say dolphin! The goddamn dolphin.
You're just going to crack one day. You're going to be like, S. Michael Smith, my word.
No, they don't call me that.
That's what your mother calls you.
Don't call me that.
She doesn't use your secret first name that I know.
but no, the time is going to come. I mean, they're totally self-sufficient now, but I know there's going to be the day, and it can't be that far away, where they're going to be like, they're going to need somebody to take care of them. And mm-hmm. I guess I just try not to think about that.
Which is your prerogative. Let me put it this way. On this podcast, you revealed a great deal of effort and a change that you've enacted in yourself about your background, right? And trying to better yourself on a human standard.
Yeah.
I think it would, if anything, behoove you to have this conversation before, like, your father gets to the point where the memory is going, right?
And
the
yeah, that's a good going. Point.
Just because it may really help to encapsulate the benefits that you afforded yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? By seeing what you came from. I don't know. I don't know if that's making sense.
I don't know. But I am going to be seeing them soon. So
that's why I'm bringing this up.
Yeah.
Again, this is not about
getting
close to your dad. This is about getting a real sense of how shitty where you came from is, because I think it's cool to know and be like, fuck you guys. I'm better than you.
Oh.
Schadenfreude, baby. Schadenfreude.
Ah.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. Look for me and maybe you here and there, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. Being involved in a new Stolen Dress
mystery project.
I don't really know how much is out there already. So yeah, it's something that Jason's been working on for like 15 years on and off. He invested very early in this, which is kind of cool. So I'm excited to be part of it. and it involves me mixing gear.
It sounds cool. Are you allowed to say much about it?
I don't really know, so I'm not going to. All right. But it's something that I'll advertise on the podcast when it actually happens.
Yeah,
but
likewise with me being on stage in the Rochester area.
Yeah, when is that?
I think May. I'll let you know.
I mean,
I'll
let you know when that happens. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
Our tens of listeners.
I'll keep you in the loop.
We still don't have a video of our pilot.
That's okay. We'll make another one, maybe.
Well, I know that the next time we do a pilot, it may be just so long that we can just reuse the Christmas episode again. I'm really hoping we can be like, Zach, there's no need to record anything. Just wait for December and air the fucking original episode that we did 4 months ago. You are...
S. Michael Smith. You are...
M. Michael Crossy. We are...
Buddies in space.
Thank you for listening, and fuck winter.
Yeah. We're almost done with Jessica Jones.
Oh, how many episodes?
Holy crap, it gets violent.
Yeah, how many episodes left?
I think we got like two.
I think you're past us now.
What? Really? You haven't finished it?
We started watching Don't Trust the Bee, which is Kristen Ritter's comedy show, and it was way too hard for us to bounce between them. It was just too weird. Way too fucking weird. But we finished it like the other day. So now we can go back to Don't.
All right. Maybe we can watch the last couple together.
Okay. I think we have 4 episodes left.
All right. Eat my-